Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1.
Now, as some of you will be very well aware, the new Apple Watch Series 6 was unveiled during the week. And like, this is way beyond just a yoke that counts your steps. So it will actually do an ECG on you, believe it or not. So it's kind of like having a GP and maybe a consultant on your wrist. And of course, they say fitness trackers have had a big boom in the pandemic. But are they actually all healthy? So I'm joined now by Mick Molloy, who's Vice Dean of the Faculty of Sports and Exercise Medicine in the Royal College of Surgeons, and Jenny Branigan, who's a chartered physiotherapist at Total Physio. Jenny, are you in favour of Fitbits and fitness trackers in general, or is it making people kind of obsessive? Like, is it unhealthy?
Well, as a physio, I'm in favour of anything that gives people a little nudge to be more active. But I also have concerns that depending on the group of people that are wearing them, you know, with obsessive personality types, it just gives them something else that they need to monitor, which I think can lead to increased stress levels. So I do think that they're good in certain people. I have a big problem with the fact that they're being promoted towards children, like Fitbits on children. I don't agree with, because I think we need to be not putting that on children. We need, as their parents, to be making sure that they're getting that activity. 60 minutes a day is the recommendation. And I think kids monitoring their own steps is the wrong focus.
Okay, because a lot of kids now are looking for Fitbits. It seems to have become the thing with them. You're saying say no to them, say not yet.
Yes, I think it's the wrong focus. I think kids need to be out being active, climbing trees, running around, kicking a ball, but not counting their steps.
Okay. Now, you work with a lot of high performance athletes. I presume all this technology is kind of useful for them, is it?
It's great for an elite athlete, for somebody who's tracking their performance as part of their job. And even for people who are not necessarily elites, but they're marathoners or they're doing Ironman, they can glean an awful lot from that and look at various different key metrics to help their performance. And wearable technology has been around for elite athletes, rugby players, soccer players for years now. But again, I worry that normal weekend warrior types are getting too much information now that really tangibly, what difference does it make to them? But it's adding stress levels to them when they're trying to track everything and see are they doing things correctly.
Well, they seem to enjoy it though. Mick, you're Apple Watch devotee, I believe. Is that the new one?
Not the new one. I would love to get the new one. This is about 2-3 generations old. I didn't jump because I thought they were bringing in more technology, which they have done now. And I have to say, I would be pretty pleased with the technology that's there from a medical point. I understand where Jenny is coming from the children perspective and the person who's got a little OCD trait, but the benefits of this are phenomenal from a medical perspective.
Do I really need an ECG machine on my wrist?
Need is a different thing. Now, I'm going to be a little bit delicate here, Brendan. We are both now into our generous years. Okay. And unfortunately, at this time, there is a silent illness that some people get called atrial fibrillation. And this is where we have an irregular heartbeat, which can predispose to other things. It can actually predispose to strokes as well, if it's there for a period of time, unmonitored and untreated. And what the watch can do is help to pick up that. And there was a very good paper published in the New England Journal of Medicine about the Apple Watch. Now, as you say, do you need it? 400,000 people or so had the watch on. Only 0.5% of them actually had an alert that something was wrong on the watch. So a very small percentage of people will benefit from it. But that was people in general who were buying the watch were asked, would they participate in a study? So that could have been anybody from the age of 15 up to 65 or 85 or 95. If you targeted that at a population a little bit more, you'd have a better benefit from it. Because atrial fibrillation is a silent disease. A lot of people don't know they have it. And it's eminently treatable early and will prevent long-term complications if treated early.
Jeez, it sounds like we should be giving these out to men of a certain age, should we?
And that was an interesting question from one of your researchers. That's a possibility. And in some countries, in Singapore now, it's becoming more widely available and sponsored by some of the health insurance programs for that basis.
So they get all your information, though?
Well, I wouldn't be that worried about people getting my information if the information was keeping me healthier. And the whole idea here is to try and keep you healthy to reduce the expense for a health insurance company. And that's a sensible thing to do.
Are we not trying to hide any weaknesses from our health insurance company, though, from a premiums perspective?
I don't know how to answer that question. Okay. We might have to talk about that afterwards.
Jenny, in terms of, it'll also, the new Apple Watch will monitor your blood oxygen level, which of course we are all a bit more aware of blood oxygen levels now because of the COVID. But in general, is it a good thing that your blood oxygen level is being monitored all the time?
Well, in general, we don't usually ever think about that. I mean, from my training as a physio, the only time I ever thought about saturated oxygen levels was when we were looking at people who had, you know, COPD, chronic obstructive pulmonary disorder. I mean, certainly it can be useful for people with asthma. And I guess their timing is good now with COVID as a global respiratory pandemic issue. But again, practically monitoring that on a daily basis, and apparently they'll monitor it while you're asleep and everything. You know, again, I think for the vast majority of people, it's a kind of a bells and whistles thing and not necessary. But again, for somebody with asthma maybe, or somebody in post-COVID recovery now, it could be useful for pulmonary rehab. And again, I think that's quite niche. I'm not sure that it's necessary for everybody in the population.
You see, Mick, is this stuff not just creating more of the worried well, which we've enough of a problem with as it is?
So if I could finish one of the points Jenny made there, just about the COPD population, we're back into targeted groups and people who this would be of maximum benefit for. And oxygen level saturation is very important for somebody with COPD who may start becoming sick. And these people get sick frequently enough. But if you can treat it earlier, they need less intensive treatment. There's less likelihood they need to be admitted to hospital. So picking up that group early is really, really important. The average us in the room here, oxygen level saturation is not important at all, unless we're climbing Everest and you can figure out what level you need to get oxygen supplementation at. But for the people who have some medical illnesses, yes, very, very useful. For the average person walking around, they're looking at it going, well, it's always 97. Does it ever change? It's not going to change. The average person, it doesn't change. The technology is fantastic, though. Yeah. It's the same technology we have in the emergency department. When you go into the triage room and one of the nurses does the assessment on you in the door, they put a little, what looks like a clothes peg on your finger. That is now incorporated into the bottom of the watch. So for me, from a medical perspective, it's great from that side.
Gotcha, yeah. Of course, even your standard old Fitbit, like my ancient one, monitors my heart rate. I might take this opportunity to say that apparently I have the resting heart rate of an elite athlete. So I don't know.
Very good.
I don't know if it's working or not. Like I shouldn't be down below 50, I'd imagine. But is it good? Is the monitoring of the heart rate, is that getting a bit obsessive as well, or is that no harm?
And again, depends on the people. It may not be relevant for the vast bulk of people. For people who are at the extremes, and again, for some elderly patients, they can go very, very low, and the heart rates can go down as low as 30 at times. They don't realise why. They might have falls regularly. They don't realise why. And it can take a little bit of time to put all the information together, so it could be quite useful for them. It wouldn't be normal for somebody your age, Brendan, who's not very, very fit, to have a heart rate below 50.
So there's only one answer. I am clearly very, very fit. Jenny, is there a whole generation now in general who are like of new fitness enthusiasts who are obsessed with these stats and everything else? Yeah.
Yes. And I certainly see that in the clinic now, whereby, you know, runners in particular. So we see a lot of running injuries and people will send me their information before the actual appointment. So we'll be looking at all their splits. We'll be looking at basically how they've been training. So definitely for people who are trying to improve their performance and their targeting particular times in a marathon, for example, it can be very useful and it can certainly help them to improve their fitness. But again, it really depends on the group of people that you're looking at. And, you know, this gamification as well of some of these health apps like Strava, where people are able to give kudos to somebody if they've done a brilliant cycle ride or whatever. Again, I think we need to be careful of that people aren't just doing it for the likes, but they're actually doing it to help their performance. You know, it's like the age old thing. Is it worth going to the gym if I can't post that photograph on Facebook or Instagram? Okay. Will I still do the run if I haven't got my Apple Watch on? So we need to be making sure it's on people for the right reason, I think.
Okay, Mick, you work on the front line, of course, in emergency medicine as well. I have about 30 seconds left. Have you any brief observation on the COVID position we're in now?
I think we need to go with Neffet's advice, and I think we need to go with it as quickly as possible. I think that when a group like that consider what's happening statistically, the number of cases that are coming up, when they give hard advice, it's well thought out. We should be implementing it as soon as possible. I think we need to reduce our contacts. We need to make sure the hand hygiene, and just to say with the watch again, it does another thing now where it'll actually remind you about your hand hygiene, that when you're washing your hands, to do it for the right duration of time. We should be wearing our masks in public. I don't understand why somebody would not wear a mask.
Okay, Mick Molloy, Jenny Branigan, thanks a million. No time for music today. Today's show was produced by our series producer, Anne Farrell. Research was by Michelle Brown. Cathal Minogue was our broadcast coordinator. On sound was Gar Duffy. And I'll talk to you tomorrow. RTE Radio 1.